Good evening, I call order Monroe Public Schools Board of Education work session. Today is Tuesday, September 23rd, 2025, and the time is 5:30. Jamie, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Heck.
Here.
Mr. Dinkins.
Here.
Mrs. Myers.
Here.
Mr. Sabadini.
Here.
Mrs. Trossi.
Here.
Mrs. Vincent.
Here.
Mrs. Williams.
Please stand for the
pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I didn't complain so much about the bowl.
Next, we'll move into discussion items. I'll turn it over to Superintendent Shaw.
All right. Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome back. As you can see on our screen, either way, it's either easy for you to look. We have Susan and Ian with us. For those of you, Susan was with us our very first time, and then Ian was with us our second two times. And so Susan's had the opportunity to kind of take over the project we're here. And so their role tonight is just answer questions and help guide through. So we went through as many of the notes as we could, we had, and tried to rework, especially priority one, and laying it out. So we want to take time there, and then we'll go through. So we're going to take and focus on priority one. So priority one, provide high quality instruction for every student to ensure college, career, and life readiness. That is a priority. The last conversation we had was around AIMS. You know, do you keep AIMS? Do we not keep AIMS? And so I would like that. We will need to make that determination tonight. But the AIM that was...
Can we address the word instruction? I know we brought that up before. Are we providing instruction or are we providing an education?
It's instruction.
Because I know you said that you felt that it was providing instruction, and I said I felt that we were providing an education and learning. So are we just providing instruction or are we providing learning?
So
this is the question.
Yep, so this section is on instruction. If we think about the totality of the strategic plan, it's providing a great health education. This one focuses on instruction.
So which one focuses on instruction?
The whole plan itself is about education as a whole. It's about our education system, where this first priority is about, it's the focus on our instruction and our outcomes of our instruction. And so through the conversations last month, again, like I said, the AIM was to increase levels of proficiency on national, state, and district assessments across all grade levels and student groups. So we broke the goals down, and so they're broken down by 1A1, grade 11, SAT math, and ELA proficiency will increase by 3 to 5 percentage points annually. Our next one, grades 8, 9, 10, PSAT math, and ELA proficiency will increase 3 to 5 percentage points annually.
So did we decide that was math separately, 3 to 5, and English separately, or are these now combined into one?
So if you go back to that next page,
yeah,
you're going to still see.
So it's separate.
They're still separate. Okay. But it's what we did. We broke it down by assessments. Okay. So you have your SAT as one assessment, your PSAT as another assessment, your MSTEP, and then your iReady. So it's broken down by assessment with the same expectations of growth in each assessment area.
It's also that range of growth, too.
Yeah, it is.
It used to be a flat, and now it's a range.
Yep. So there's
why did we do 3 to 5 and not 5 to 7?
So it was based on that prior conversation and being in where it's a goal, it's still a stretch goal of getting to 5%. I mean, if you look at our data from last night, and, you know, can we get to 3? We believe we get to 3, but we're trying for 5. And if we go higher, we can, and we hopefully will on MSTEP or the PSAT. You'll see that when it came to iReady, that is. And so we're just taking the notes that from the conversations of that night, and that's what we put in here, too.
The iReady is 5 to 7%.
Yeah.
We thought we could jump the iReady a little more than 5 to 7. We seem to be really good in the iReady. Because as we talk about, they don't seem to correlate as much as we like them to correlate. So if we do better on the iReady, even better, then in theory we should do a little better.
I have a thought. And on last night I didn't jump in, but when we were talking about the trend data from 2015 to 22, what does our trend data say? And so we know right now that we have plateaued and we are on the upswing, slight increases. I think I'd like 5 to 7. That's just based on our trend data.
If you go to the next page, what it might help is if we just do the math there. 5% growth, on that over the next 5 years, you're looking at a 70% EL reading score in your iReady. And
which one?
Down there on iReady reading, it's blue. Right now, this year is at 45% proficiency. So if we think, okay, every year it's 5%, and we actually hit that stretch of 7, we're going to hit max real soon there.
Well, I think what we're going to do is hit max as soon as possible.
We do. Yes. And so, but then the math, again, even on the math, we saw 6% already, at 6%, one of those numbers that holds there. So what I don't know, and this is kind of like why we need Dean and Susan, is as we, I don't know, 100% is the ceiling. What's realistic of where we should be trying to get to? I know it can be top of the state or county or whatever it be, so back to what is realistic and set a stretch goal, as we call it in
We're just looking at this data here, and I did not bring my notes from last night because I did not think I would need them. But based on the conversation last night and the data, we were talking about a slight increase. When you look at what's listed on here, these are within goal increases. So I didn't recall, I just don't recall that on the data that because these aren't slight. This is 5.6, 3.1.
The slight were in the elementary. From 3 to 6 with the slight ones.
All right.
And
we are combining multiple tests for MSTEP ELA, for math, for MSTEP math, because we, as on our district dashboard, 50,000 foot view of our district.
So what are going to be included in there? I thought this was just MSTEP or this was just SAT. So what other categories are we listing in here? What other
So you
just said there were more.
But they're the grade levels. So if you look here, if you look down on the left hand side, you're going to see we're starting right at the top. SAT, English 11. So it's 11th grade, all 11th graders, English 11. Now the PSAT, ALA is 8th, 9th, 10th graders combined to get you your score. For ELA, the math. MSTEP, 3rd through 7th graders, their scores all added up. The division problem occurs. iReady is done the exact same format. K-graduate, so we lay out what grade levels and then your subject matter that's being assessed. And that's all it is. There's not, and so, you take the data from last night where we drilled down deeper into each grade level. We're just saying as a system, and that goes back to, high quality instruction for all of that. As a system, are we in those grade level bands hitting our growth goals? And
well, when you combine them like you are hitting them. You're hitting it in two of those categories, and you're already hitting it in the other category. So, you're setting goals where you've already hit once you combine that data.
Well, we're just using this as a start point, because if you go back to the 23-24 school year, we don't hit a single one.
Yeah, I'm just talking about current.
Right, and that's what we're showing is that.
To say current.
Yep, and so what we're doing is showing examples. Our baseline data is last spring of 25. So, and that's what I was sharing in our last meeting we had this stuff. This paper is just an example. This is not what's going to be published, because our baseline is spring 25 data.
Susan? Is she? Susan? Hello?
Yes.
Sorry.
Susan,
hello. Susan. So how typical is it to see on a SAT 11th grade ELA and math, a spread of 23 percentage points and 29 percentage points. A school district doing that big a divergence on those two categories.
So I will turn that question to Ian because he is really the data side of our team here, and he is better at answering questions that are specific around those data points. But I was just about to ask Andy if I could interject as I was listening to your conversation about your goals and what they should be set at. And I want to make clear that goals are never stagnant, right? And so, you know, as you move up the scale, as you make progress towards your goals, you can readjust them along the way. So setting these goals is not something that, like, is cast in stone and you're stuck with them, you know, over the next number of years. So I did want to interject and make sure that point was clear. Were there questions about that?
No, if Ian, you wanted to take a swing at that spread difference between math and ELA, the school district experiencing a 23 or a 29% spread.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. So I can't get exact numbers on how many districts are experiencing that kind of spread, but what I can say is working with assessment data from districts across the country, what we're seeing here is not atypical. It's not uncommon for us to see variation in proficiency rates and in performance in general across grade levels and across topics, especially when we're starting to look at across assessments. Sometimes that's a function of the content domains that are assessed on the test, and sometimes it's more a function of what's happening within the district and within the context. It's not necessarily a reflection that there is an inaccuracy in the assessment.
So again, what we were trying to do though with this page is just as an example, because I go back to when I first started, I wasn't sure how the data was put together. I want our board to understand how the data was put together. And you've got to be okay with how the data is put together, or kind of differently how the data is put together, so that there's no question out there about that. So we go back to, you know, what the 1, 2, 3, 4, the 5 goals are, academic goals. On 1A, it is the data, and it's our SAT, it's our MSTEP, and our PSAT and IREG. So those are data points that we use. And so that's what I would like to, for any further clarification on that, we need to establish there.
I'm not sure of the 3 to 7, because when you take third graders and you move through, we've got third and fourth at the one school, 5 and 6 at another school, and grade 7 in another school, and you're combining them as a cohort. And so from a data standpoint, I'm not sure why that would be a good way to do it. Why combine them? Why not do 3rd and 4th, 5th and 6th and 7th, if you're
going to
do 7th?
So, again, what we were trying to do is we're thinking about it in terms of what do our kids on the MSTEP or the iReady or PSAT, how do they score? So, for example, what this says to us is that on the ELA 8th, 9th, and 10th grade PSAT, our kids are scoring, we're having 50%, 47.87% proficiency rate. That's what that says there.
I didn't think from age grade 3 to 7 how many would take the MSTEP.
Every single child.
Every 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th. So I still think it might be a good idea to keep the elementary together, the 5, 6 together, and 7, and rather than linking those cohorts, it's going to skew your data. We know it's going to skew your data.
Cool.
And so how you compile your data is relative to what your outcomes you want them to be. They can. Because if you group these things together and you throw these in, it can throw the data in a whole different way, whether when you pull them out. It's just data.
Yeah.
I mean, ask, I don't know, what is, what's his name?
Ian.
I'm talking about when you put data sets together, and the outcome. So when we put too many data sets together, are we going to be able to see, you know, what's reflective? It's like third and fourth is elementary, fifth and sixth is another building, still elementary, but it's a different building than seven. Is that going to, does that skew the data for the accuracy of what we're looking at, or is it?
Yeah, it's a fair question, and I wouldn't necessarily characterize it as skewing the data so much as it is you're just decreasing the overall amount of information being reflected. I think in order for us to look at the proficiency rates for individual grades, that would just mean looking at more data points. And then, Andy, I don't know if that's a matter of just adding some additional language within the goals that you already have, that would apply to each individual grade level within that group. But then otherwise, yes, you are kind of, you're combining the students across that grade. It really depends on how you want to be looking at the goal there. I don't think that there would be anything to prevent a district from having a goal statement on the strategic plan that's using slightly more broad language simply to communicate out to the general public, while tracking the more detailed, specific, grade level performance when assessing performance and accountability within the district.
Yeah, I think that's the key term, is that this is what's going to be shown and seen by the general public, whereas, like the presentation we have from Andrea and everyone else, that's going to be still by grade level, classrooms, you know, that sort of thing. We're still going to get that information to the board.
The
but
public
this
can't
is the
see
stuff
that.
That true.
Yeah.
It's so hard to find. I know how to find it, and I have a hard time finding it.
So,
didn't mean to cut you off, Carrie.
So one of the
things.
No, you're good.
No, so it is.
This is the first year that 5-6 is not.
It is. And that's only because the eighth grade doesn't do stuff for the SAT. So, in essence, yes, we can display this any way we want. The goals are set. I mean, it can be set just the way they are because, you know, okay, our expectation is grades 5-8, third through seventh grade MSTEP is going to have a 3-5% increase in it. And then down here, we want to group them by our K-4 buildings, our 5-6, our 7th grade. You know, we can do that. It's all about how you can display it without really creating too much information overload in what people are trying to look at.
Yeah,
that,
I don't think that would be more than someone to look at. I think that, you know, it's data points. People are going to look at them or not.
Yeah. So the range is so it's just a matter of, like I said, from the high level, this presented it as a way of going, what do we look like? Well, we look like 36% of our kids in math and already kindergarten through eighth grade are proficient. That's what that number says. And so you might have a grade level that helps carry, you got another grade level that's nipping down. Okay. But we can break it down by, I'm not going to lose sleep on K-4, 5-8, or 5-6.
It was just a way to look at it because of the way that the system is broke out now. So I was just thinking, follow what we currently have in place, follow the system we have. It just would make sense because, you know, we don't, you know, 5-6, there's a lot of research on, you know, the implementation of that 5-6, and I'd like to see the 5-6 be, it's on its own data.
And
we
could
share
that with
you anyway.
Yeah.
That data will be reported.
So
separately, I just thought
it'd
do 3, 4, 5, 6.
Well,
you do have to agree with that.
This is my suggestion. So this will actually be on our website,
right?
And in the dashboard for people to see.
So it'll be in the dashboard.
So it will be in the dashboard. So when a person goes to our strategic plan, we will be creating a dashboard. So we have this information we need to be able to publish. We want to publish on there the other KPIs that we're able to publish there for the community to see.
That's why I suggested break it down by the building.
Yep.
They'd be like, hey, how are we doing over there?
Yep. So let us put something together because, again, what I was referring to is, and this is where we'll use Hanover to help, is when I say information overload, it's eye overload. When you're looking at it, trying to decipher all the information that you're going to have 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, but you could break it out in 4 different boxes.
Right. It's
be creative about how you demonstrated it.
Yeah.
But
oh, yeah, it's not going
to be
true.
This is the least
conclusive
way to
look at it. Right, I get that.
But as long as everyone is okay that the process is we're going to take the Spring MSTEP, Spring PSAT, SAT, and iReady data, add them up by grade level, and divide it by that number of grades to get our average, okay? That's the process, okay? So we can set, K-4 grade. Correct.
So you're going to take all of the numbers and divide by the number of people that participated?
No, by the number of grade levels. So you take, for example, in for K-4, we have 5 grade levels, and then we have 70%, 35%, 30%, 48%, and 60%. We add them up, divide by the 5, and that's what our number is for that year. It is either higher or lower than that year prior. Okay.
Yeah, the way you just said it, take K-4, 5, 6, I think
that's
that
not,
would be easy for people to see.
Yep. So that's not hard.
And then they can look at what they
want to
look at.
Okay. So then our next one, and if there's, we have to go back, so please go back. So the next one had to do with increase number of students demonstrating growth toward grade level proficiency in ELA. 1B. So this one is by the end of each school year, the percentage of students performing one or more grade levels below expectations in kindergarten through eighth grade iReady reading math would decrease by 5 percentage points. So in the line of thinking is we would also break this one down.
So this is everybody in the class. Whether you're like red or not.
Yes, it's red.
But we're not doing anything with the yellows.
No,
so
it is.
We got green and red, everybody else in the middle.
Yeah, because what's happening is if we're shrinking the red, they're moving to that yellow, then they're that partially proficient, they're moving into the greens. And so the idea is, and from our seat, and this is, I think, is important to understand, red costs money, okay? Red costs our district a lot of money. And that's where we have tier 3. That's just what we have to go into. So we want to shrink the red coming out of the blocks, as we've been working hard doing. So if we shrink that red, the remediation side isn't as great. And so that's why we want to focus on shrinking that red number down. And again, it's just taking the exact same data. So proficiency, we're using the flip. So we would break this down, kindergarten through 4th grade, 5th and 6th grade, and 7th and 8th.
Same way you're going to do that.
1CI. K-12 comprehensive professional development plan for ELA and math aligned to findings from the teacher needs assessment by September 30th, 2025. That date will have to shift because the plan isn't in place. So,
that is one thing that gets me, and I don't understand. In a long-term strategic plan, we are putting together a development plan from a teacher's need assessment, and we're having a date which is like right when you implement it. So I just don't see how that's a long-term strategic. I can see that being one of the ways you're going to do something, but that doesn't make sense to me.
But I think that goes back to what Susan was saying earlier of how these goals can shift over time, and that would be one of those points that we might review during Andy's evaluation. It might be like just a tagged item that we update that date or we update that strand or whatever on a regular, I'm not saying it's tethered to Andy's evaluation, but it might be like this time of year that the evaluation process like pings in our mind like, oh, we also need to touch base on that one thing in the strategic.
So your strategic plan will be every July late, will be early August, because you always wanted to make sure that updates are in there. And so, Susan, I'm going to ask you to hop in right here, because I'm going to go on a limb. So there's some, you've seen schools where it has something like this written in there. The next year, did they get it done? And now, what's the next step with that work on professional development, for example? Oh, still muted.
I'm challenged by that microphone button tonight. I should just leave it on. Yeah, so absolutely. This goes right back to what I was saying before. So the only thing that you might consider doing here is it's something that you want to replicate annually. Sometimes we'll see districts put language in like that if they don't want to be tethered to a specific date. But again, you can make adjustments along the way to a strategic plan. In fact, you should be making adjustments to your strategic plan. This should not be a stagnant document, but rather, you know, it is living and breathing, and it should pulse, like, along with the district as you're making steps toward reaching your goals.
Would it make more sense to take that date off and just say by each fall, you know, each fall, annually, needs assessment each
fall? Create a K-12 comprehensive professional development plan for ELE and math aligned to the annual findings from teacher assessment.
Yeah, I like that.
And
yeah,
it
says in there.
Is that annual?
Yep.
And that's not in 1C too.
So here's my problem with this. It says we're going to increase the teacher ability to deliver high quality instruction. So in order to have that as an aim, you have to admit you're not doing that. And so I have a problem putting that out there and saying, hey, we aren't delivering high quality instruction. So that's my problem with the way that's worded, is because it makes it look like we're not doing that.
No.
I would say improve or do something.
So the ability, so the idea is this.
I'm telling you, that's how I read that.
Yep. And, but the
it says increase. So wherever they are today, the baseline, you're going to increase their ability above that.
Yeah.
Can I just, for the timeline, I'm going to circle back to the timeline component. If we don't want to be as specific, but we want to be more broad, can we say by the end of, like, whatever the fall semester, fall term, whatever, because it can be tricky to just say fall, because is that October? Is that technically when winter starts in December? Is that... I just feel like in order for this to be a SMART goal, right, the time-bound piece needs to be articulated in some sort of, like, generally conclusive way. So I agree that maybe not sticking, like, by this specific date, but maybe if we could put, like, a generalized timeline that in the, because schools are cyclical, right, that we can time it with the end of one of our various cycles.
But they all do different ones.
Correct.
Semester one?
It could be a semester, it could be trimester, it could be quarter, it could be like, homecoming, I don't care, pick one.
I think in here we already know that this year with the math and ELA, that what the work will be there, but in the future, there will be, that's all done through a survey, and that's one of those springtime items. And when we talk about, really, it's probably, March?
Yes,
so we can plan PD the next year and bring in the
right. Right. So another component to that is when you create a professional development plan, you also have to think about the consulting agencies that you want to partner with you. And so you need to be able to do that usually during the spring and summer to, you know, negotiate a contract with whatever services it is that you want and then have it approved by the board, because usually it costs more than what we're allowed to be able to just spend without board approval.
By three digits multiplied by four.
Yeah.
So with that, so what are you suggesting that we put on there then?
We could do prior, and Andrea, you're allowed to this too, but I was thinking like prior to the start of the school year, we would have the professional development plan ready to go. So I don't know if there's a way to put verbiage to that, but I always think it's nice when we have that set and finalized before the start of the new school year. And we do have a lot of that, just to reassure you, we do have a lot of that. Mm-hmm.
So that first one is about the plan, which is what you're referencing. The one below it is the amount that they'll be doing once a month. So you're suggesting have the plan done by the start of the school year each year so that during the school year they can get once a month.
Correct.
I can understand that.
So what it could read is create a K-12 comprehensive professional development plan each spring
for ELA and math aligns with the findings from teacher needs assessment. So you just, you know, that.
Or prior to the beginning of the school year.
You don't want to do that. You've got to gather all the information from the staff in the spring. And trying to pull it from them in May, that just gets you in trouble. Okay? It's a busy month, so it's the spring.
By the end of the school year.
So we can pull that information. Then we have time to create the plan.
So you're
going to
say end of school year?
It's each spring. Is when you're, because we're going to gather that information and create that plan.
So beginning of spring, end of spring, just during the spring.
My only caveat on that is usually in August,
if you're that
is where we see students leaving
and
teachers coming. So we've got to make sure we capture the teachers coming in.
That's later on the week.
But this is one that they're going to do every single month.
You know, I appreciate
this is for every month. So why not have 100? So 100% must do it once a month, and that's from day one, right? You're going to develop your assessment, and from day one, starting for the school year, they will do one every month. 100% of them will be required to do one every month. Is
so,
that the way we're reading this?
Yes.
Professional
development. Do you feel there needs to be more specific language, Darla?
I just want to make sure that we're all reading it the same way, because you know, sometimes I read something and then someone else reads it and they see it differently. So you're going to get one each month, and that would be 100%. I mean, everybody has to have one every month. Which I think is good.
Darla, I appreciated the conversation because I went back through and I read it. I was looking at it from the lens of when we need to get information from our teachers, and we know we've got to get the information about when the plan is done. So it's really by July 1st.
The plan will be done by July 1st. Okay, good deal. And then...
I
would feel better saying August 1st just so that we have July if we need to bring something to the board for approval.
Okay.
That would give barely enough time, but it would give enough time.
Right.
Okay. And then once the plan is implemented to start the school year, every month 100% of the teachers will complete a monthly professional development.
Good.
That
one sounds
easy.
That's the way you did it.
That's
why I learned easy from my
work on
this
already.
So our next one reads, by May of each year, 100% of all high school seniors will have completed a post-secondary transition plan. And then 1DII is by the end of 2026, all 7th and 12th grade students have initiated an educational development plan. And this kind of all goes back to, for our seniors, that post-secondary plan. So we know what's the plan I'm doing. With that. So, David, Terry, is there anything else on this we need that? Even the committee put that one in there?
Can we jump that back a little bit? I mean, May is getting pretty late for your post-secondary transition plan. We really need kids to be thinking a little bit ahead of time on that.
That is 1DII. That EDP is holistically.
Yep.
Their interests, college visits, credits, everything. 1DI would be like what,
seniors.
like the bridge between May and June 15. There's nothing else, right? It's like it's what's taking place after that. So the EDP essentially starts in seventh grade, and it's a state law requirement, and it keeps building and building and building. So that post-secondary plan is finalizing, I guess. The track afterwards. That's the idea behind it.
But that actually starts now in kindergarten and elementary school.
I would agree with you.
I know. I read your stuff. I know it does.
Been for me.
So what?
I say I agree, but then I just said I didn't do it.
I'm still taking naps.
Here's just a question.
I told me about you can't turn anything on.
Oh no, it's
what heat? What are we talking about?
It's called 98 degree bodies.
I have to turn the heat up. You want the heat up?
No, turn the heat on. The boilers are not on.
No, you reduced how cold it gets. So.
Right. But the heat.
Let me rephrase that. It's not set at 69, so if a bunch of people come, it's set at 72.
Right, thank you.
And that means 69.
So this is a multi-year.
It should be up to 72
yes.
now.
It is right.
We want a hard date of 2026, and we make that annually.
So one thing I want to bring up at this point, only because this topic was not discussed at the sessions, and it recently just became a topic, are requirements for graduation and what we're setting that at. So this would be the perfect time in a strategic plan to say, look, we're going to look at this, and we're going to change our numbers, and we're going to increase that. So that there is a better outcome rather than, you know, I don't even know where we're at. We've asked for those. I don't even know where we're at. I guess we'd have to find the numbers. But
we just did it. Talked about it last night.
Yeah, but we didn't have numbers.
Yeah, and that's going to take some
time. We only had, yeah,
right.
What I'm saying is that would be something that would be in the strategic plan.
Look, I would suggest we, once we have the numbers, then we consider adding it. Let's wait until we get the numbers.
So your strategic plan becomes your guidance as far as the levers and moving bigger items. So if one of the levers is that we want, and we believe that by increasing and having a C-minus be where kids have to get a credit, will increase graduation rates, will increase student achievement, will increase all these things, and then you put that in place. So then your strategic plan would be the driver to help import, well, this is why we're doing it. But I don't want to get into the conversation tonight about on that, but I think it's so. To Tom's point, though, annually, each year, by May, 100% of all high school seniors will have completed post-secondary transition plan. And that transition plan, really, gang, there's some kids, and guess what? They've already, this November, they've already figured out what they are doing, where they're going. It's already figured out. There are a lot of kids, though, that are getting that point in time of year where it is, like, what is really going to happen? And so our counselors and staff walk them through that, but it's that refinement there of it.
I know your strategies and actions are technically my business, but when we're talking about students and meeting those mm-hmm. objectives, what does professional development have to do with the students? Because are you suggesting that students are getting professional development on board to meet that goal? Or you're giving professional development to your staff to?
So it's to increase their capacity. So I mean, we all have areas where we have ability to increase their ability with being able to enhance and improve their teaching skills so that there's a stronger teaching and learning that happens in the classroom. So
to me. The high school seniors will have a transition plan. That's what I'm trying to understand.
Yeah.
How does providing professional development help students complete a post-secondary transition plan?
Plan, I think there might be a little bit of variation between the transition plans. The transition plan is part of that plan is how did Monroe Public Schools prepare them for life after high school? And if we don't provide meaningful PD to our staff, that's more than reading and writing arithmetic. That's geared toward, Brian, help me out, your business sector.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's the different pathways that we have at the high school and bringing those down into lower levels and expounding and opening up students' minds to what opportunities there are.
And I think when we look at the language for that priority, it says provide high quality instruction for every student to ensure college, career, and life readiness. So I think that's where that piece around mm-hmm. college.
Just a confusion.
Yeah.
Is it the student or the staff that's getting professional development?
The staff is getting professional development,
so
whereas the students need to create the plan. I didn't see
Your professional development actually relates to 1DII. When we think about 7th to 12th grade students, we're initiating IEP plans. So the teachers have to go talk, and so.
So it's not CTE, it's educational
development. It's
not just CTE classes.
Yep.
Am I in line here?
create K-12 CTE committee, provide K-12 CTE.
Mm-hmm. That,
so it, they are saying CTE.
That's part of it, but it's not every student. Every
it's
student
overall,
does not have CTE.
Right.
Huh?
It's not very technical overall.
You're on an educational development plan.
So if you're educating people, it should be on how to implement an educational development plan, which would include your CTE, your college readiness.
And the counselors do that with the students.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
Classes, the counselors go over
that.
I just saw what
you're doing.
To
your point, though,
that why are you targeting CTE?
Expand your action. If need be, go shift.
One.
You'll create the goal. Go shift.
What?
So if that goal is, when the board says, yes, these are the goals we have established, then we bring back in committees of staff going, okay, now what are we going to do to achieve that goal?
I thought you already did that. That's what we're
discussing. It takes further, though, because we did
other pieces, like
yeah.
Applying to colleges.
I thought once we got done with this, it was up for vote, so it won't be until they go.
Those goals, that's like you said, the goals are us, the board. After that, how do we make sure as a district we hit those goals?
Yeah, but we should be able to see that as a completed plan before we vote on the strategic plan.
Right.
I'm not into voting on partial stuff anymore.
No, you vote on the goals, and then it's up to us to carry them out.
I understand that, but as part of this document, when I vote on it, I want a complete document. I want a complete document that says this is our strategic plan going forward. Now, if you say some of that stuff may be changed a little bit, we may make some tweaks to that, I can say, okay, we can live with that because, as Susan said, it's a living, breathing document.
Okay.
But I don't want to vote on a document that's
going
to be complete.
I think you're confusing because once this, we vote on this document. This is like the high level document. Each of the different groups, whether it's, let's call it the 12th grade CTE, they're going to have their own specific goals that tie into these overall high level goals. It all cascades
right.
Down.
That's what I thought.
But that's not what he said. We don't need to see those. We just see the high level.
But
you
those goals have to align with these goals.
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to say.
They will, but we're not going to be voting on those.
No, we're voting on these goals.
Those goals.
Yes. So if we don't look at the goals or strategies and actions, which we haven't been, we've only been looking at the goal, not Mr. Chamberlain.
What's missing? What component, I'm just trying to grasp what component is missing. Like, what is the goal? What's the thing? What's the item? What's the screen?
Perfectly fine until Andy said, well, when we get this part done, then you guys are done and you guys vote on it. And then we'll come back and do this part.
Okay.
And that was what I was bringing up because
I'll bring more clarity to it.
Got it. Okay.
Thank you.
We're going to go through the strategies, and you're right. The strategies may take further refinement or the KPIs. So there's more, because once we put more eyes on it, going, okay, we see what you're trying to, when we put other people around us going, we see what you're trying to, the goal is, we'll make sure that KPI is very specific and immediate. And what we put down there will achieve what we want. Okay,
but it's not
going to
be a swipe out and vote. Not necessary.
No, you're...
When you said that, that's what threw me
off. But refinement.
Yes.
Now
I'm on the same.
Yep. Okay.
Thank you.
So...
What?
Did it.
Thanks,
Barry. We're through one. But I do want to continually... I just want to get this on the table because I just... Are we keeping aims or not? Okay? I just need to hear words on this, please.
I like them.
Culture and climate ensure a safe and supportive environment. So in this area we have three aims and goal areas right here. So by 2031, 90% of all students will indicate understanding how to regulate emotions and behaviors. What this one is referring to is, in our school district, one of the areas, and I think you guys have seen it from the board room, and
is that our students, their behaviors, we have students with escalating behaviors, and we have to help them understand how to regulate those emotions and those behaviors. Otherwise, those keep coming into the board.
How are you measuring? How is it? What's the measure? For me to get to 90% of all students, how am I measuring that they've indicated how they can regulate emotional behaviors? It's not like a test, like an MSTEP or something like that, where you test out. How would you get that?
The KDBIS.
It's subjective.
Over the KPI, we have student referral data.
Mm-hmm.
That would be one, so student indicate. So
student surveys as well. Anytime a student is referred, they're often provided some sort of opportunity to make right the situation through reflection. What could you have done in this situation besides punch Tommy? You know, I could have walked away. I could have counted to 10. I could have told an adult. There's all different ways to garner data from those types of records.
So
when do we start? Well, so what are we starting at a baseline? If the students are going to change in that time frame, it's not a stagnant pool of students where we're saying, hey, we're making progress to 90%. I'm just trying to understand.
Yeah.
That's all. And maybe this is something that we talk more in the refinement stage. I think this is an awesome goal. I just don't know how it's
The overarching goal here is that 90% of our students will, by that time, or hopefully even sooner, that 90% of our kids or more are able to understand how to regulate emotions, behaviors. They can indicate that. So it's about making sure we've taught how to regulate. So if we can...
Could that be more of a strategy or KPI and do something like,
we'll have
a decrease in negative behaviors or a decrease in suspensions, expulsions.
So the conversation that we're having was a conversation that I know I requested a multiple times, and it's a conversation you requested, and it's on social emotional learning. Now, there is a big range of where people stand on whether they think that is a form of learning that needs to happen in school. It's true, Tom. It's true. But that's what this is.
So let's stay focused on
that. That is exactly what we're talking about. So we wouldn't have so many questions if we would have actually sat down and had the conversation of what truly are you teaching and truly what is social emotional learning, because I know I've asked it and you asked it. And so we're making goals based on a program that we don't understand because we haven't had that conversation yet.
Well, I think it's multiple programs, you know.
Well, for example, one.
Well, that's just one. And then we have the Pick Forward, and we have Leader in Me, and we have Reasonville Roundup, and we have MTSS, and, you know, we've got all kinds of interventions in place to support students and their social-emotional growth. I just think that that's important in education.
And there are people that do. They think that the big majority of the day should be spent on that.
Well,
but you have to understand that there's a majority of the population that says, hey, those are things that need to be put in their own bucket and not be a goal to which we are regulating people's emotions and behaviors like a
comment.
And it's true. You can disagree with me. I understand that. But that is where I stand, and I know a lot of people that I know, and a lot of people stand that way.
So that brought up a really good point, though. And you know, when we stuck in a little bit later on around the idea of reducing absenteeism, this goal right here is more reflective in decreasing student suspension expulsion rates. But this was really the first.
That's different.
That's
a different conversation.
Yeah.
How you go about it, you may disagree with, but
the intent is
things that are real tangible that we think is going to affect their learning ability. So the rest of it we can discuss at a later date.
2 AI. Is that what we're going to change?
That's what I was looking at. I'm thinking that that's where the goal those goals. When we look at the aim, and sure, a culture of self-regulation, the idea is that we have a culture where our suspension expulsion rates have been decreased, so that means the environment in the classroom is a lot better. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay? And so what we are going to need to do then is, and I'm appreciative of this deeper dive right here, and so what I want to do is let us now rewrite that one, and
we need to redo the aim too.
And I would say decrease the number of, I don't want to call it decrease the number of suspensions or referrals, because we still want to see those kids when we need to see them. Decreasing the problematic behavior in the classrooms that results in expulsion and suspension. You know, that's what we're really getting to.
But you can calculate that by referrals.
Right.
Because anything that doesn't lead to referral has been a teacher, correct me if I'm wrong, has made a decision that they're handling that on their own. It's not something that's going to be handled as part of the system. But once that referral hits, that referral now becomes a trackable, real thing that says, where are we at?
Yeah.
Because without that, that was like your tardies and your, we talked about attendance rates on that. Without real tangible numbers, you're just throwing ideas out there and you can't follow anymore.
So are we thinking we would then work on rewriting that particular goal?
That 2A, 2A,
I think we have a lot of great information from all of you that would help us to be able to craft something that meets exactly what you're talking about.
And I would have an aim of self-regulation.
No, that's the error language change. Out of the word.
Mm-hmm.
To what you're describing, though, too, Darla, is one of the conversations we have a lot is how to advance our tier one. And tier one is where we really want to live. Because, again, tier one, again, I'm just going to talk from a superintendent's hat, is the most inexpensive way to do everything.
Tier one instruction, tier one discipline, tier one classroom management, tier one.
Okay, because everything starts and stops with the teacher in the classroom. So, by looking at it through a KPI of a referral, is exactly it. Because once a referral has been submitted, now it's moved out of the tier one, is not that it's not been addressed by a teacher.
And it's trackable, and it's reportable, and it's something that we can look at, or any of us could look at and say, where are we at with this?
Let's move on.
So we're going to rewrite that one and bring that back.
We love it. Let's move on.
Can I absenteeism somewhere else or restorative practices? And probably that's where those need to go.
Absenteeism is 4B.
Okay, thank you. Did you talk in the day? Oh, yes, I see it now.
Is it a
record?
Are
we moving on to 4B?
I think
we're moving
on to 4B. I wish there was time today. So, looking at 2B, by June 2031, 80% of all staff members will have completed either trauma-informed practices or crisis prevention institute training.
So why by June, that far out? Why can't you say by the next 3 months? She puts them on all well, Jessica. So you got a new person. I saw. You have a new person.
We do.
I saw that.
We do.
Can you bring them?
She'll be here.
That's a trigger part and the cost of the trigger part. Right?
So of what?
It may be small class.
It's like a better bitch.
Because I believe, if I remember right, it's been a couple years, CPI is either it's a 1 day or 2 day trainings.
Initially, CPI.
That involves a lot of things.
CPI is a 2 day training, and then for brand new, and then annual is a 1 day refresher.
It's 6 years until we hit 80%.
I'm just saying,
if we think that is a really important
thing. But that's just all staff members. Yeah. So maybe if we said 100% of all teachers?
Yeah.
Well, I think that your CPI has to be your people that are dealing with your...
I'm actually going to push a little bit that...
Maybe we need to...
This is actually...
Is that going to be your food service or...
No.
Bus drivers, maybe. Well, maybe, but...
And Terry...
This is staff.
I need you to go ahead and say, no, this isn't correct. I look at that, and that almost feels like a strategy to our 2A
area.
Yeah. So just combine it, right?
I view that as a strategy to our 2A area. So
then maybe that can be your
80%.
The wide systems of support that proactively address the whole child.
Okay. Yeah, because then your strategy says it's going to be offered to all staff. So
mm-hmm.
that can help address that section too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So that goal 2B is going to move into the 2A area as a strategy to implement reducing our number of referrals. Okay. All right.
Because that would mean by nature that what's happening in the classroom is being managed by the professional development, the skills they got, so therefore the students don't need to leave the classroom, they don't need to be sent to whatever rooms, what are they called, behavior rooms or whatever they're called, and they don't need to be removed out of instruction, which should help grades.
And also those behaviors aren't disrupting the learning of the other 20-something children that are in that room, too. So, everybody benefits from, having a space that is safer, that isn't as disruptive and chaotic. So, yes.
So, staff support. So, we're in priority 3, staff support and retention. Guarantee programs and support for maximum satisfaction and retention of high-quality staff. So, increase support of new staff members. Monroe Public Schools, New Teacher Academy for first through third year, achieves a 90% third year, achieves a 90% participation rate and an 85% satisfaction rate.
So why not 100%?
Same question.
Because that would mean 10% of the teachers do not have that. Therefore, we have a lot of new teachers.
You're talking participation.
Participation.
It's
participation.
All satisfaction. I don't care what we're doing that. I mean, that's all subjective. They gave you cookies at the meeting.
So, for example, this year we held.
We
had a very successful New Teacher Academy, but we're asking people. They have summer vacation plans. They're getting married. They're doing something. We do have 3 more tentative dates throughout the course of the year to follow up with them. So, I mean, we want everyone's participation, but until it's in the collective bargaining agreement, we can't mandate it.
So what happens with all of, I think there was, 40% of new teachers at 5-6, I'm using that as an example, because the only numbers I know in my head. So if they're not getting what we believe is going to help them be successful, and they're not going to get it until who knows when, how are they going to be successful walking into that classroom?
So
at the same time, how are the students going to be successful?
They've already had, for new teachers, they've probably had more training on our new Envision Math than any other year.
Then why is this important if that's the case?
Because new teachers need extra.
Right.
They need more support.
Right. But if they're not going to be able to get it until when?
They're having their second session. I mean, we have a collaborative data cycle where they continually meet with their coaches.
Okay, and I misunderstood what you said to start with when you said that the offering of these teacher academies could only happen I thought you said that they weren't happening. I misunderstood what you said, I'm sorry.
So professional development is a very layered approach. So there's New Teacher Academy, and that's primarily run through our student services office and the help of the coaches. Then teachers also have in their buildings, they have their school improvement coach that would help them with instructional types of strategies and understanding their curriculum, understanding content standards, all of those important parts of teaching. They also have a teacher mentor. So every new teacher has a mentor teacher that they go to help them with setting up parent-teacher conferences, to help them with accessing PowerSchool, Kickboard, whatever those types of learnings are. They have new teacher
support liaisons for our retired teachers who go into the buildings and work with new teachers and making sure their classroom libraries are set up, that they know how to, you know, have 25 5-year-olds line up together at the same time. So there's lots of different levels of professional development.
Yeah. I was just saying that most of our new teachers have achieved at least some of that.
Yes.
You know, they all have a mentor teacher. They all have access to the coaches in the buildings. They're getting the subject curriculum training that they need. So maybe we need to change the way that goal is written.
Do you differentiate between, when you say new teachers, those coming right out of college versus, we've had a lot of teachers coming in from Triumph or wherever.
Right. So some of them have come to the new teacher training.
Because it says first through third year.
Yeah.
But it's like somebody who has 12, 20 years,
right,
and they're coming here, they still participated in some of that.
Yeah, like
so
Jessica.
Everybody's getting some of it.
Right. So like when Chessie was here,
yeah,
like helping her to like understand kickboard,
yeah,
and power school and some of the
new
systems.
You do an assessment and you see where things they may be already familiar.
So on this goal for New Teacher Academy,
mm-hmm,
so David, someone say, is that something that can be, if I'm still trying to understand,
yeah, I'm
because everything else I get, Terry, but we're only talking about New Teacher Academy
and
this goal.
Yeah. So I would,
why don't we just take that first strategy and move that to be the goal?
Yeah.
What strategy?
The first strategy in 3A, that says implement a comprehensive New Teacher Academy for first through third years teachers to provide targeted professional development and mentorship.
Well, the goal has to be measurable.
So we're back. I think we can actually move this to 100%. And here's why. Monroe Public Schools New Teacher Academy for first through third year teachers will achieve 100% participation rate and an 85% satisfaction rate. Because over in the strategy section, we can put in there, for example, what we did this August was a 2-day session. We'll run, and this is hypothetical, because they're going to go, oh, right there. But we're going to run one of those in June, one of those in July, one of those in August, and one of those in September. You pick which you're going to come to. Okay. But you're going to come to one of those, so we have a very number of days, and that's the initial, because we pay our to come and take part, and then we'll have other events throughout the year, and it's probably expectation.
Would that cover for maternity and pregnant life? We have that spread.
So I can't.
Is it 12 weeks?
Yeah,
12 weeks.
But we're hitting here though. So if you think about the teacher that in May, June, and July, we're hired, right?
Yeah.
So I'm hired in May, and in June, in the New Teacher Academy is set up for June 25th, 26th, for example, or I've got the July one, and I'm already, well, hey, I can take this one, it works in my calendar. It's more that they already know they're going to start working this fall, and unless something detrimental is there that they cannot do one of those, then they can't. But we would repeat the process so that way it's available.
So we just have to fix our understanding of it's not just August 20th and 21st. This is offered at August.
For the initial, but there's still the, as David was referring to, we still have to do things for our, you know, our first and third year teachers.
So to be 100% of this
school. Yeah.
May I ask a question out of sheer curiosity?
Doable.
For the New Teacher Academy, are the like content or the agendas for those published? And then if an established teacher in Monroe Public Schools is like, ooh, I think I need a little bit of a refresher on that thing, can they swoop
in? So what we did, the agenda for this, our first go around with this year was, we literally ran them through, had our tech department come in and do a presentation, our HR department. They did a tour of our buildings, so we kind of just, it's really a cool little onboard, so we understood how things work.
If I can add, the invitations for this New Teacher Academy that we did this year went out specifically to people that were new, or in some people's cases coming back to us. They were specifically sent out to that group of teachers that we wanted to target. It wasn't sent out to all staff in this case, but that you're not wrong. There could be things and topics that our students and children may have interest in. So I don't think that that's a bad idea to also provide that opportunity.
So what are the teachers that are teaching have access to this?
So we only, in this past fall, I think we had 3 that came around.
Oh, so they have already done it.
We already did one this past fall.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you didn't require it.
No, we pushed, we asked strongly.
You suggested.
I mean, at that point in time, you remember, they hadn't made a penny yet.
Right. That's
so
their best
the reality.
You were like, all right, I can commit.
That we're working somewhere else.
What I would, but I think though, this one, if you allow us a moment, I think we need to back the time here, is let us rewrite this one more around that first year, because it may end up being a 3A and a 3A1. And the reason I'm saying that is, it's not only the first year, and one of the things you said was by the start of your first year in Monroe Public Schools, here's that. But then the problem, the other part becomes is, then there will be things happening throughout the school year when we provide opportunities for those first through third year teachers. So we do something special for the first years in the summer. We may do something for the second and third years after that in the summer, but those may not be 100%, okay, but for the first year. So I think if you allowed us a moment to rewrite 3A and then have a 3A1 right there for that two part, I think it would be helpful.
You also have teachers coming in.
Sure.
September, October.
Yeah. Yep. So, oh, yeah. And that's part of that. So, okay.
You got it, though.
You all got notes on that one, too. I mean, I've got writing.
Yes.
My black man. Okay. Good.
We got it.
All right. We're doing okay.
I have note takers.
Yeah. All right.
I wrote not one note on that.
I have 10 notes. Okay.
Not one.
And that is not a secret.
Let's see if we get through 3.
Let's see if we get through 3. 3BI, 90% of all staff will indicate a strong sense of belonging and well-being.
I don't know how you're going to do
it. That is so subjective.
It
if
is.
You buy them lunch, then you do a survey
yes.
that later in the day or the next day. They might not
like
if you go to sit them in a training for 16 hours and then ask them,
so
not gonna have a good
the aim, if we go back to the aim, when this group put this aim together, increase the sense of belonging and well-being amongst all staff members. So part of the culture and part of what Monroe Public Schools is about.
Yeah.
And so that's what their aim is for. Now the goal has to get to that level right there.
I would just like to add that nothing kills momentum like low morale.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
And that, I think, is why maybe this needs to be reworked. But the people who actually carry out the work with our kids, like I know we're saying it's subjective. I know the only way to measure it is to ask them. And buying them a Chick-fil-A is not going to do it. It's not going to make them happy.
Anyways.
Okay? I call it Chick-fil-A. Like, it will not make them happy.
Sure.
It is something that, I mean, it can bring entire buildings down. So I know it's subjective, but when we think about the people that have the most time with our students, 6.5 hours a day, we need to think about the people that are in the trenches and their quality of life and how they feel about what they do.
I think the strengthening of interconnectedness counts as well. Like when you do a survey at a company, the people who usually are doing well are thriving. They have 3 or 4 or more friends that are there. You have to have those type of, that's kind of a soft type of thing, but it's amazing the levels of satisfaction, how they change.
Mm-hmm.
Most people think it's money. Money is like the lower thing when people leave a company. Either poor supervisors didn't feel connected with anybody within the building, and that's it. Yep.
So, that's a lot. Like the new teacher academy is an opportunity for those new teachers to make those connections too.
Yeah.
And also, like their mentor is a really important connection. And I think Ryan, you shared something that's really, really important because it might not be measurable, like interconnectedness and interpersonal connections, but like how incredibly important, not just for our teachers to feel supported, but also for them to feel like they have a community within their building or within the district. And then also for them to have good morale because they have trusting relationships and also know, like, oh, well, that person over there is really good with fill in the blank with whatever system.
Yep.
Or that person over there is a dynamo with fill in the blank with whatever process. And that they can rely on that network, and that's so important. But I don't know if we're going to be able to turn it into quantifiable data.
I have an idea.
Well,
go
good.
For it. So when you talk about, I'm thinking of how I did things. When you have a mentor and you have someone assigned to someone, and they're doing constant check-ins, those check-ins become that self of well-being. So they came and they were checking in with them, and maybe this week there was problems, and they worked out those problems, and things got better and improved, and they seemed to be more well-adjusted, and they seemed to be those things. So that could be something that you set through your mentor, because it sounds like it's like a one-on-one thing, if I'm understanding it right, and their constant communication with them where the mentor is evaluating what they believe to be whether that person is showing a sense of they fit in and they belong more than the individual. Because the individual will,
right.
But the individual will be sharing with their mentor is what I'm guessing, because they'd be telling them.
How do we mentor people? We try to mentor people with similar personality.
I just know in fact you do it.
No,
sometimes it's proximity, sometimes it's like prep, you know, like
okay.
you a new math teacher with a veteran math teacher.
Okay, because I think some of that matters for the, and when you're looking at a mentor, you want the mentor, you may not be looking to be their best friend or whatever it may be, but if you really have to be careful with mentor personalities, because some people who mentor very regimented, and if you have somebody that's not their way, then that can be a turnoff. I was curious about it, and that's not my bailiwick or how you do it.
I could just see how that could be a way to document things, keep things flowing, and then maybe still ask a on top of that basis, you know, where you deal with all of that, and it would be a combination of
things.
So we're going to take and rewrite this, and one of the things that I was interconnected in satisfaction is that perception data. It's really just, do our feel connected? Is it a sense of community? That morale. So that part there. And then,
you have four friends.
Yeah.
So, calendar.
And then I think number two. I know. So, when we get to 3BII, what they're referring to here, and this we'll need to rewrite, is does the staff feel like they are supported in the needs that they need, in their needs? And that's what that was really referring to there. And so that one can
which
actually
number?
Be combined.
BII.
So 3BII, yeah.
So 90% of staff will rate supports and programs as aligned to the specific
needs.
Yeah. Are they
individual needs.
The,
yeah.
Individual.
So that's right. This one.
Not, I teach math. Am I getting what I need? I have these.
It would be I've asked for this, I have to get more, I'm teaching math, appropriate resources, all that. So, but that's also, it's close.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was close.
And you've got the Mitchell.
Yes.
One down there, which you already have, PCI, you're going to raise the effectiveness of the mentorship program.
Yep.
So people can say, my mentor was on 50 or why.
But like you said, that could be an interpersonality.
It could be.
The last thing I would want to see on this is because when you allow subjective data that is so aligned to what's going on at that time, that I would hate for, you know, 6 months of the year to be so successful, but there was some event that transpired that at the time of you're doing the assessment, it sinks, and it looks like it's sunk all year. I wouldn't want to see that
happen. Or vice versa.
Yeah, I just wouldn't want to see that happen.
So
maybe
just
monthly?
This is something to think about.
Well, actually, I wrote down 5 years.
Yeah.
Just
because that's a risk of subjective data.
Mm-hmm.
For consideration when it comes to, I don't know if it would be like incorporating it in strategies or in one of the KPIs, But, like, often, I know that when I think of well-being and wellness, I often go to, like, physical well-being,
yeah.
right? But if we would also consider, like, mental well-being, environmental, meaning, like, you are in a space that you feel safe in, like,
right.
your classroom is not in disarray, and
yeah.
you feel that your classroom is a spot that you're, like,
yeah.
I can teach here. Financial wellness, occupational
right,
wellness,
so
meaning like your academic and your professional life is going well. Social wellness is important. Intellectual wellness and spiritual wellness. If we could look at wellness as in a broader capacity rather than just like, do you work out and eat protein powder? Like, sorry,
no, I don't have time
drink protein powder? Whatever you do,
eat lunch one
like,
day this week.
Right. So, like, we could, if we could look at wellness
yeah.
in some sort of like broad aspect and provide a lot of different avenues for that. Obviously, not mandatory, but like.
No, the
I
wellness,
like Bible verses
you know,
that God is better than exercise.
Yeah, the, so the wellness side, when we think about it, is we have David Rosenberg, I said earlier today,
Carisolis.
So they have you use Carisolis. Okay,
mm-hmm.
some that's available through our insurance carrier. We also have other supports. Do you use these supports? Are you aware of these supports?
Right. But you don't want people to have to say they use them. You can say, are you aware that they're there?
Well,
and do
right.
you see them?
Yeah.
But that's giving people
yeah.
personal health information.
No, I don't want
personal
health information. But I also
I
need to know.
I want to tell you if I went and did
oh.
that.
Right.
Yeah.
right. So just
but
I'm mental well-being
yeah.
would also be like understanding
yep.
how to do mindfulness
yep.
at your desk
mm-hmm.
for 3 minutes. And a lot of people don't understand that mindfulness can be 3 minutes. It doesn't have to be a 1 hour long.
But you could do an hour
five
session. You can do prayer. You can do Bible reading.
But like some
stuff.
People don't, it doesn't dawn on them that that's something that
yes.
you can do for a few minutes while you're
yeah.
at work.
Okay, so the last one right here, PCI, 80% new teachers will rate the impact of the district's mentorship program as highly effective. the last one was 3CII, 80% of all staff will positively rate MPS as having a competitive compensation and benefits package.
Yeah. That's all union stuff. Like,
so,
we have absolutely zero control of race in me.
No, we have control.
We have control. It's a matter of our
of the
so you think about
benefit it. Place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No,
but
well,
they if they like the benefits, they take the job. If they don't like the benefits, you don't take the
would
job.
Would it be more? Would it be better to have something in there about like less turnover? You know, like retaining staff.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have anything in here on the data for retention or turnover.
No.
Yeah, that's
okay.
And maybe exit interviews would be part
exit
of those KPIs.
Mm-hmm.
Is that on there?
Maybe
there's
set
no.
a goal onto the returnable rate or the retention rate, whichever you want to call it.
Okay, so we're going to hit the done button there. We'll rework these with our friends at Hanover. Push us back out to you. Is there anything else you guys want to say from millions of miles away? Is it hot in your guys' world?
Feels good in here.
Aren't they on the East Coast?
East Coast and throughout.
It's a pleasant 72 degrees
here. She's good.
Thank you for
really
the conversation. Really interesting to hear your push and pull and getting the strategic plan to place where everyone is happy with it. I raised my hand a little while ago, but probably couldn't notice on your screens there. But I just, in going back to your conversation about the strategies, and just want to affirm what Andy said around, you know, these are high level and they are high level intentionally. Right. And then really, this is just one part of a strategic planning process. Is creating these, you know, what you have here in front of you, which is going to be reworked and sent back out to you for review. But the next step in the process is to really drill down into that strategy column there that you're looking at. And that's where we really get down in the weeds. And it becomes very, very specific around leveraging the RACI matrix, the ICE framework and becoming very intentional about the processes, about the KPIs that will be associated with each of those minute steps along the way. So that would be the next step in our process and in supporting you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
He's a quiet soul.
And you got anything for us?
Just say thank you all. Appreciate the opportunity to grow the process.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you all. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Okay. So, Carrie, we have.
We have one for public commentary.
Can you clarify the CPI requirement for teachers for training? I wasn't quite clear on what you're proposing for that.
So, what they're saying, what was being brought up is that 80% of our staff, kindergarten through 12th grade, 80% will either be have CPI training or trauma informed practices. And so it's more.
How are we doing 100%?
No, this is all. I'm sorry,
all
not
staff.
All. Actually, this is all staff.
That's
all staff.
What I'm saying. You were going to rework that number.
Who's
not
staff.
Included?
All staff. So by June 30th, by June 2031, all staff.
We
know. So not all.
No. Only specific. All specific staff. Offered to others.
We offer all staff with 80% participation rate. There we go. Yeah. What we're trying
they're
to get to.
CPI training or trauma.
And that's what they, when this, yeah, trauma informed practice of a crisis.
Even the
most
CPI,
yeah.
I thought the conversation was they didn't have to be included. Like the three people you, and I think you mentioned, Carrie.
Right. But that's why we were saying 80% because we were talking about
right.
all staff.
Right.
Versus saying 100% of our.
And we don't know, but we don't know if that's 20% or not. So that was the clarification
right.
of the number to ensure that the right number of staff are included in there. So the percentage out of all. But just
yeah.
all staff.
You were trying to get to 100%. So that's why it is 80% when we look at it. At there. So it was CPI.
Did that answer your question?
Yeah, I needed the percentage.
Is that the only okay.
That does conclude our agenda. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Move to adjourn.
Do we have support?
Support.
Show up there.
Oh.